Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Total Energy Services, Inc. second quarter 2018 results conference call. As a reminder, all participants are in listen-only mode and the conference is being recorded. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. To join the question queue, you may press star, then one on your telephone keypad. Should you need assistance during the conference call, you may signal an operator by pressing star and zero. I would now like to pass the conference over to Mr. Daniel Halyk. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you. Good morning and welcome to Total Energy Services' second quarter 2018 conference call. Present with me this morning is Yulia Gorbach, Total's VP Finance and CFO. We will review with you Total's financial and operating highlights for the 3 months ended June 30th, 2018, and then provide an outlook for our business and open up the phone lines for questions. Yulia, please proceed.
Thank you, Dan. During the course of this conference call, information may be provided containing forward-looking information concerning Total's projected operating results, anticipated capital expenditure trends, and projected drilling activity in the oil and gas industry. Actual events or results may differ materially from those reflected in Total's forward-looking statements due to a number of risks, uncertainties, and other factors affecting Total's business and the oil and gas service industry in general. These risks, uncertainties, and other factors are described under the heading Risk Factors and elsewhere in Total's most recently filed annual information form and other documents filed with Canadian provincial securities authorities that are available to the public at www.sedar.com. Our discussions during this conference call are qualified with reference to the notes to the financial highlights contained in the news release issued yesterday. Unless otherwise indicated, all financial information in this conference call is presented in Canadian dollars. Total Energy's financial results for the 3 months ended June 30, 2018 improved significantly compared to the second quarter of 2017. Recovering industry conditions in the United States and Australia, as well as rationalization of meaningful cost savings from the integration of Savannah Energy Services and increasing production levels at our Weirton, West Virginia compression facility contributed to such improved results. Consolidated revenues for the second quarter of 2018 were $193.8 million as compared to $154.9 million in the second quarter of 2017. Geographically, 46% of second quarter revenue was generated in Canada, 32% in the United States, and 22% in Australia, as compared to 58% in Canada, 23% in the United States, and 19% in Australia during the second quarter of 2017. By business segment, compression and process services contributed 54% of 2018 second quarter consolidated revenues, contract drilling services 20%, well servicing 18%, and rentals and transportation services 8%. Second quarter revenue for the contract drilling services segment was $38.3 million, or $24,019 per spot to release operating day. Excluding Canadian subsistence revenues that essentially flow through to employees and on which no margin is earned, revenue per spot to release day for the second quarter was $23,411, a 15% increase from Q2 2017. Segment EBITDA was $4.8 million, or 13% of revenue, in the second quarter of 2018, as compared to negative EBITDA of $3.1 million in the second quarter of 2017. Contract drilling services segment recorded 1,593 operating days, or 15% utilization, during the second quarter of 2018. Drilling activity during the second quarter of 2018 was lower as compared to the second quarter of 2017 due to lower North American drilling activity. In Canada, our strategy to decline unprofitable work combined with a decrease in natural gas drilling resulted in the lower operating days. In the United States, second quarter operating days were negatively impacted by the fact that three drilling rigs that were active during the second quarter of 2017 in Pennsylvania were released subsequent to the quarter end. Two of these rigs were relocated to Texas and Colorado, and both rigs commenced operations in June. Partially offsetting reduced operating days in North America was a 121% year-over-year increase in second quarter operating days in Australia. The revenue reported from our rentals and transportation segment increased 11% to $14.9 million for the second quarter of 2019, as compared to $13.4 million for the same period in 2017. The revenue increase was primarily due to a 6% increase in revenue per utilized piece and marginally increased equipment utilization, offset by disposition of 700 rental pieces since June of 2017. Second quarter rental equipment utilization increased to 19% in 2018 as compared to 18% in the second quarter of 2017. Segment EBITDA for the second quarter of 2018 was $1.7 million, or 12% of revenue, as compared to EBITDA of $1.3 million, or 10% of revenue in the second quarter of 2017. Contributing to increased segment EBITDA was an increase in both in the size and utilization of our United States equipment fleet. More specifically, compared to the second quarter of 2017, utilization in the United States increased 31%, and revenue per utilized piece increased by 111%. Additionally, the rental fleet increased by 100 pieces, or 20%, to 600 pieces at June 30, 2018, compared to June 30th of 2017, with the relocation of underutilized equipment from Canada and targeted new equipment additions. The utilization of rental equipment in Canada during the second quarter of 2018 was consistent with the second quarter of 2017, albeit on a rental fleet that decreased by 800 pieces, or 7%. Revenue per utilized piece of equipment in Canada increased 2% as compared to second quarter of 2017. This was primarily due to the change in mix equipment operating during the quarter. Within our compression and processes services segment, second quarter revenue for 2018 increased 61% compared to the same period in 2017. Such increase was due primarily to higher sales activity, particularly within the United States and other international markets. This segment exited the second quarter of 2018 with a record fabrication sales backlog of $216.9 million as compared to $149.3 million at June 30, 2017 and $207 million at March 31, 2018. Utilization of the compression rental fleet continued to recover during the second quarter, with approximately 24,800 horsepower on rent at June 30, 2018. This compares to 19,000 horsepower on rent at June 30, 2017, and 18,500 horsepower on rent at March 31, 2018. Segment EBITDA increased 110% to $12.9 million, for the second quarter of 2018, as compared to $6.2 million in Q2 of 2017, with quarterly EBITDA margins increasing 290 basis points on a year-over-year basis. Compared to the first quarter of 2018, segment EBITDA margins increased 280 basis points as efficiencies begin to be realized, with a steadily increase in production from our Viridian West Virginia compression fabrication facility. Second quarter revenue for our well servicing segment was $35.5 million and EBITDA was $8.7 million, or 24% of revenue, as compared to revenue of $34.9 million and EBITDA of $7.5 million, or 21% of revenue, during the second quarter of 2017. Total service hours for the second quarter were 36,472, of which 50% were in Australia, 36% in Canada, and 14% in the United States. This compares to 34,935 service hours during the second quarter of 2017, of which 46% were in Australia, 37% in Canada, and 17% in the United States. Consolidated gross margin for the second quarter of 2018 was $37.5 million on 19% of revenue, as compared to $25.4 million or 14% of revenue in the second quarter of 2017. The increase in margin amount and percentage was in line with increased margins in all business segments as a result of improved industry conditions in the United States and Australia, and the realization of substantial cost savings from the integration and rationalization of Savanna. Consolidated cash flow before changes in non-cash working capital items was $22.5 million for the second quarter of 2018, as compared to $10.9 million in the second quarter of 2017. This increase was due primarily to increased activity levels in both compression and process service segment and Savanna Australia's operation, as well as improved EBITDA margins in all business segments. Consolidated EBITDA for the second quarter was $23.2 million, a 253% increase as compared to the second quarter of 2017. Total Energy achieved profitability for the fourth consecutive quarter, generating second quarter net income attributable to shareholders of $3.8 million, or 8 cents per share on a diluted basis. Total Energy's financial position remains solid, with $103.1 million of positive working capital, including $24.4 million of cash and marketable securities at June 30, 2018. After paying $5.5 million of dividends to shareholders during the first half of this year, since the end of 2017, our shareholders' equity increased by $5 million as a result of companies returned to sustained profitability. Total debt was $297.9 million at June 30, 2018, a $29.8 million reduction from December 31, 2017. In addition to regular monthly principal payments on $59.9 million on mortgage debt, during the first 6 months of 2018, Total Energy repaid $27.5 million of debt assumed with the acquisition of Savanna. At June 30, 2018, $236 million was drawn on $295 million of available revolving bank credit facility. Our bank covenants consist of maximum senior debt to trailing 12-month bank-defined EBITDA of 4 times and the minimum bank-defined EBITDA to interest expense of 2.5 times. At June 30, 2018, the company's senior bank debt to bank EBITDA ratio was 2.2 and the bank interest coverage ratio was 7.63 times.
Thank you, Yulia. We are pleased with our second quarter results as they begin to demonstrate our ability to generate improved financial results from the combination of Total and Savanna and to execute on our international growth strategy. As Yulia mentioned, underpinning our second quarter results were strong international demand for compression equipment and a continued recovery in industry conditions in the United States and Australia. While industry conditions in Canada remained relatively challenging, particularly during spring breakup, operating efficiencies and cost synergies arising from the integration of Savanna, coupled with modestly improved pricing, also contributed to our improved year-over-year financial results. As we have discussed in previous quarterly calls, during the integration of Savanna, we took substantial action and incurred significant non-recurring expenses to restructure and improve the operational and financial performance of our North American drilling, rentals, and well servicing businesses. Declining unprofitable work, extracting cost savings, and working to improve the quality and efficiency of our operations have allowed us to work our equipment less, yet achieve better financial results. For example, despite a 50% year-over-year reduction in North American spud to release days, second quarter EBITDA for our contract drilling services segment increased by $7.9 million compared to the second quarter of 2017. Our integration efforts have also given rise to substantial cost savings, which we now estimate will be at least $17 million on an annualized basis. As such, we would expect our financial performance to continue to improve in the near to medium term, everything else being equal. However, despite relatively stable industry conditions, uncertainty exists within the global energy market, particularly in Canada. In such environment, we continue to focus on pursuing investment opportunities that are expected to provide appropriate risk-adjusted returns, and we will remain disciplined in our pursuit of such opportunities. While there is further work to do to improve the efficiency of our operations and further cost savings are expected with the expiry of unoccupied property leases and the disposition of surplus real estate and other assets, the integration of Savanna is substantially complete. I would like to thank our many employees who have worked hard during the integration process. Your efforts have meaningfully contributed to the improvement in our operating and financial performance and position Total Energy well going forward. I would now like to open up the phone lines for any questions.
Certainly. We will now begin the question and answer session. To join the question queue, you may press star, then one on your telephone keypad. You will hear a tone acknowledging your request. If you're using a speakerphone, please pick up your handset before pressing any keys. To withdraw your question, please press star, then two. We will pause for a moment as callers join the queue. Our first question comes from John Bereznicki with Canaccord. Please go ahead.
Hey, good morning, everyone.
Good morning, John.
Good morning.
Hey, looking at Australia, utilization was up sequentially. You know, it looks like across the board. Just wondering if you could give us a sense what you're seeing there right now in terms of the activity and pricing dynamic through the balance of the year.
So, you know, as we mentioned in our previous quarter, we expected Australia to continue to improve. You know, that's the case. Savanna's currently is active as they've ever been in the history of their Australian business in terms of equipment working. What we have seen on the pricing front is a bit of moderation in the sense that there were some legacy contracts that expired. That said, I think a combination of some cost improvements combined with continued reasonably strong spot market pricing conditions have led to continued, good bottom line performance there. So, you know, while the legacy contracts, the pricing was better, I think we've more than dealt with any price declines through improved cost management.
Great. Shifting gears to CPS, obviously margins up nicely on a sequential basis. Trying to understand, is it fixed cost absorption? Is it, reduction in startup costs or more rental revenue? Just wondering if you could maybe give us a little more color on that.
I think all three, John. Obviously, as our production levels go up, your absorption is better on overhead. In terms of the startup costs of Weirton, you know, that's an ongoing process, but as you continue to ramp up production train employees, improve your production processes, your costs go down on a per unit basis. And definitely, we've also seen a nice uptick in our compression rental fleet utilization. Interestingly, in our previous, I believe it was in March, we increased our capital budget by $15 million to allow the compression group to continue to grow its U.S. rental business. They've been pretty successful in deploying existing unutilized pieces as opposed to necessarily adding a whole bunch more, but certainly, you know, we have the flexibility to add new units to the fleet if, you know, if circumstances warrant, but definitely a nice uptick in utilization of the existing fleet.
Got it. Thanks. And then just lastly, it looks like you moved another rig out of Canada in the U.S. in Q2. Thoughts on further relocation here in the back half of the year?
You know, we're monitoring the situation pretty closely. We're committed to Canada, and our view is, you know, there's been a fair amount of equipment migration out of Canada. You know, we do require fairly, how would you say, firm commitments before we will move. The flip side is we're not going to abandon our Canadian clientele, and so, you know, we're sensitive to that, but at the end of the day, you know, we've got a big asset base we've got to put to work, and, you know, we'll make a call on a rig-by-rig, client-by-client basis. So I don't want to speculate on, you know, any further movement of equipment.
Okay, terrific. That's it for me. Appreciate the caller.
Thanks.
Thanks, John.
Our next question comes from Aaron McNeil with TD Securities. Please go ahead.
Morning, all.
Good morning, Aaron.
On the compression and process side, I guess I'd note that maybe your outlook in Canada is a bit more guarded than one of your peers, but would you be willing to comment on what you're seeing either from a booking backlog, order inquiry activity subsequent to quarter end in Canada, the U.S., and maybe in other regions?
I would just generally say we're very pleased with how our business is competing in Canada. We have a significant share of the market. It's hard to determine exactly what, but we're a very, very material player in the Canadian market, and we've been more than holding our own in terms of, you know, participating in business in Canada. So, you know, that said, on a year-over-year basis, what's driving you know, a material increase in the backlog is certainly the international piece, but that doesn't diminish from the importance of Canada to our business.
Is it fair to assume that Canadian performance could be up meaningfully next year over this year?
You know, I think what you have is a fairly significant Western Canadian infrastructure deficit. You know, you're seeing the midstream infrastructure being built out a bit. You know, obviously everyone knows about our pipeline constraints. You know, it's frustrating to watch what's happening south of the border relative to north on major pipeline construction. You know, that said, as that plays out, there's significant upside for us in Canada. And also our exposure to LNG is very significant and probably not appreciated, but we're not going to speculate on what a particular project may or may not mean, other than to say that, you know, if you have one or more Canadian West Coast LNG projects go forward, we would expect that that would be very beneficial for, you know, not only our compression business, but some of our other segments as well.
Assuming that an LNG project goes ahead, what do you think the timing might be where you actually see revenue from that project?
Depends what segment. Obviously,
on the
you know, you're going to have.
Sorry.
Yeah, you know, it depends on their build schedule. So I don't want to speculate on that. You know, I think I don't want to speculate on a particular project. I think there's obviously you have the main plant itself, and then you've got all the gathering systems going into that plant. And, you know, what I do know is when a proponent of a previous project that's since been canceled, you know, was moving forward, we participated very significantly in the field compression component of that project, and that was a few years back. So again, I'm not going to take anything for granted, but I would expect, that we would, have a reasonably good chance to compete for incremental business.
Okay, and then maybe switching gears to well servicing and drilling, maybe Australia in general, I guess, piggybacking on John's question, can you comment on what your contract position or outlook looks like on both the drilling and service rig side?
So, we generally don't comment on individual customers. It's never been our practice to do that. I'm not going to do that. What I would say generally is a much more concentrated marketplace. I would also say relative to last year, our customer base is more diversified, which is a positive thing. And typically, you tend to have term commitments there as opposed to a spot market. And so I feel quite good about where we stand today and how we're positioned. Ultimately, you've got to do a good job. If you don't, piece of paper, I'm not going to rely on a piece of paper to keep us with a customer. I'm going to rely on doing a good job. So we're not going to put a lot of, we're not going to hype that stuff, I guess, Aaron. What I would say is we're in a good place in terms of customer diversification, contractual backing, and performance. One thing we're very proud about in Australia is our safety record. It's incredible. They do a very good job there, and that's a function of having good, steady work with customers that are equally committed to the safe operation and protection of our people. And so I would say we're second to none in both drilling and well servicing safety performance in Australia.
I guess,
and we're working for very large customers that appreciate and are willing to pay for that service.
I guess maybe throwing that question out the window and asking it a bit differently. You'd mentioned in your remarks that you had some contracts roll off and that you had spot market pricing that was okay, but do you think that the run rate and or Q2 is an appropriate run rate for both the drilling and service rig side in Australia?
Yeah, I think we're running things at a pretty high level. I don't see anything causing that to change to the negative. And like I said, offsetting some price decreases on contract renewals is, our group has done a very good job at improving cost structure. And again, I think part of that is, we've implemented compensation schemes there that directly align segment management with bottom line performance, which has not been the case with Savannah historically.
Right. And then maybe just as a final question and a point of clarification, the three rigs that you moved from the Marcellus, did I hear it correctly that two are currently operating in Texas and that all three are operating today? Is that correct?
No, so we moved two rigs from the Marcellus. One is working in Texas, one in Colorado. Those commenced operations in late Q2.
Okay, great.
We moved a rig from Canada to Texas towards the end of Q1. It started operating in Q2 as well.
Understood. Okay, that's all for me.
So three rigs moved, two from the eastern U.S., one from Canada.
Gotcha. That's all for me.
And all three are moving. We still have one idle rig in Pennsylvania. We'll give you an update next quarter on that one.
Okay. Thanks, guys.
Hopefully.
Once again, if you have a question, please press star 1. Our next question comes from Ian Gillies with GMP. Please go ahead.
Morning, everyone.
Morning, Ian.
Morning.
Would you be willing to share where the compression backlog is today or maybe even just whether it's up or down from, I guess, what was disclosed to 2Q? I mean, just given the strong revenue performance in second quarter and so on and so forth, I'd just be interested to hear how bid activity is as well.
We're not going to give a number, Ian. Never have, never will. We'll give it next quarter end, but like I said, I'm very pleased with how our compression and process group is competing, both in Canada and internationally. So we'll give an update after Q3, but we're not going to start doing that.
How about some color around how bid activity is relative to maybe what you've seen over the last 6 or 9 months?
It's busy.
Busier?
You'll find out September 30th. We're busy.
Okay. With respect to the Permian, have you seen any impact yet on your operations or in your conversations with customers? Is there anything to lead you to believe that there may be a slowdown?
Not yet.
And then with respect...
Let me put it this way. We've actually deliberately slowed down on some of the lighter rigs. As contracts expired, we've declined future work because the pricing wasn't there. And so, you know, you've got some cost inflation in the Permian given, you know, it's very, very active. And as we have legacy contracts expire, we either get better pricing or we shut the rig down. And so, you know, the absolute number of rigs working in the U.S. has been relatively stable. I can tell you there's been movement below the surface there, and generally as rigs are coming off, we're either getting better pricing or we're shutting them down.
Okay.
And that explains in part the 50% year-over-year decrease in spud to release days in North America, yet a material improvement in the bottom line, and we expect that to continue. We're going to, frankly, not work for nothing, and that's going to stop, and if and when rigs can go back to work for a reasonable rate, they will, wherever in the world they are.
There seems to be some notional amount of positivity around day rates in the back half of the year in Canada. Do you think, or have you seen them, or are they moving enough yet where you think you may be able to start capturing some market share back in Q3, perhaps relative to what it was in Q1?
So I think Q1 would appear, with the benefit of hindsight to date, to be the low for us on market share. I think where we see some good strength, and again, we commented on this after our Q1 results, is on the shallower end light oil. That's a market where we are a very significant player. We're also seeing the double market picking up a bit. Interestingly, in the second quarter, we've drilled the deepest, longest well that Savannah or Chinook's ever drilled. It was close to 6,700 meters with a mechanical double, no top drive.
Okay, that...
And so, and we did it in a material shorter period than what the well was AFE'd for. And so I think as you see the exodus of high spec, or whatever you want to call them, I would call them, as you see an exodus of overcapacity rigs, including triples, but also high capacity AC doubles out of the marketplace, you're going to get a migration back to rigs that are more than capable of doing the work, and ultimately that'll help the deeper end. But to date, where we've seen our market share starting to recover is more on the lighter end. And, you know, I'm hopeful that as our customers continue to, you know, they need to start making money, and many of them are. And, you know, as they continue to recover financially, and there's a tighter market on the deeper end because of equipment leaving the country, that you'll start to get some normalization of the deeper end of the market. But time will tell.
And
but we definitely, you know, we definitely gave up market share, and we've been open about that. But we're also working less and making more.
And with respect to working capital, I mean, there's been some pretty solid effects there. You guys have made some pretty good changes on tightening up working capital since the Savannah acquisition. Do you think it can get better from here? Have you kind of right-sized that piece as well?
Well, you know, what we saw, and this is, you know, interesting, is literally we went from about four rigs working through breakup to north of 20 in about 3-4 weeks. So that's a pretty good working capital pull in June. And so I would think that as we go forward, we will actually do better on working capital. You know, as well, we've had a pretty good ramp up in our compression process. It's been quarter over quarter. You know, the other group that's, you know, we're quite pleased with the improvement in both activity and bottom line has been our well servicing, including in Canada. I think, again, we've taken a real effort to get out of the unprofitable work, the gypsy work, but there's been a pretty good pickup there. And, you know, we've also just sat down and told our customers that we can't work for these rates, and we've declined a lot of work. But fortunately, in a lot of cases, the customers see that, and they've worked with us. So all in all, I think, you know, we've had a fairly good ramp up in June, which has put some working capital pressures. And as things level out and steady, I suspect our working capital performance will improve.
Okay, thanks. That's helpful. I'll turn the call back over.
Thanks.
Our next question comes from Dane Byluk with CIBC Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
Morning, all.
Good morning.
Was there anything that drove service rig pricing in Canada and the U.S. higher outside of straight rate increases? Was geographic mix a function in moving rates higher at all?
No. Rate increases.
Pure rate increases. Okay.
Yeah.
Can you give us a sense at what sort of capacity the Weirton facility was operating at in the quarter? Just trying to get a better sense of what the business can ramp to, especially given the higher backlog.
There's much more to go there. What we find, and I'm hesitant to give numbers publicly, is when we think we're at 100, you know, in Canada, we find ways to get another 50% out of it. We have a lot of room to run room in Weirton, but it's ramping up, and our focus really at this point is on training and securing additional labor, not worrying about physical capacity of the plant. So our primary focus is to continue to expand our workforce there and train them and improve the efficiency of our labor force.
Okay, that's a good color.
We're hiring in Weirton.
Gotcha.
And we're okay. Having some pretty good success.
On the compression backlog added in the quarter, can you provide any further color on the geographies and contract size of that?
I would say a nice balance, definitely year over year, an increase in international.
Okay.
And, you know, we did, you know, I think it's public knowledge in the marketplace that we did receive during the period a very, very large order out of Australia, which was one of our biggest single orders ever. And so we continue to compete very well in that marketplace.
Right. Okay, and then just a last question for me. Dan, can you talk about how happy you are from a broad integration perspective with having had Savannah for over a year now? And is the integration officially behind you, or is there still more to do at this stage?
So I would say it's been a lot of work. You know, I was the busy guy during the actual takeover. I'm very pleased with the job that our senior management team, both at a corporate and divisional level, has done to take the ball and run with it within each of the segments. I'm very pleased with the cultural alignment over the past year. I think realistically at first there was probably some skepticism about some of the discipline that we sought to bring in on pricing and that, but I think as our management teams see the outcome, they've completely bought in, particularly as we've implemented bottom line based compensation, which in some cases has already contributed to meaningful compensation increases. And for those segments that are still in recovery mode will contribute to meaningful compensation increases. And so that obviously brings a natural alignment. In terms of the kind of the rationalization, I think, from a people perspective, that's done. You're always going to have tweaks, but really the focus now is on liquidating excess real estate, other assets. We're still not done the cull and decommissioning process, but we're steadily making progress. We're not going to sell things at the bottom of the market. We're going to be smart about it. But we've also taken steps to reduce the carrying costs of certain assets. We've also, like I said, we see at least $17 million a year now in annualized cost savings. Q2, you know, was really the first quarter that those cost savings kicked in when we didn't have a bunch of corresponding one-time costs, severances, and you know, the ERP system, for example. We've pretty much got that cleaned up. You know, that was a real mess when we walked in here, and it was a source of distraction and a lot of work for everyone, and that's been wrestled to the ground and is functioning reasonably well now, in large part because we simplified it. But there was a lot of money spent on that pre-us, you know, what, $7 million, Julia? 10 all in by $7 million we wrote off ballpark, and $10 million in total that was expensed, and that's behind us.
Understood.
So all in all, I'm very happy. I think these things take time, and we're not just going to start firing people or shutting things down. We want to understand the business, want to understand the people, and that just takes time. But we're done, and now our focus is to continue to improve our operations. And with that improvement will come bottom line performance that gets better.
That's great color. Thank you. Congrats on the good quarter, and I'll turn it back.
Thanks, Dean.
This concludes the question and answer session. I would now like to turn the conference back over to Daniel Halyk for any closing remarks.
Thank you. Thanks for calling in, and appreciate your questions, and we look forward to speaking with you after our third quarter in the fall. Have a good weekend.
This concludes today's conference call. You may disconnect your lines. Thank you for participating, and have a pleasant day.